following is a presentation of the Michigan Sports Network.
Wednesdays on the Huge Radio Network are presented by the Michigan High School Athletic Association. You can follow everything about high school sports 24/7 at MHSAA.com, at MHSAA on Twitter, and MHSAA on Facebook. Wednesdays on the Huge Show are presented by the Michigan High School Athletic Association.
Are you ready for huge opinions on the Lions, Tigers, Wings, Pistons, Michigan, MSU, and every sports team in the state of Michigan? It's time for the Huge Show. From the east side to the west side to the UP, the Huge Show is on air statewide on the Michigan Sports Network. Voice your huge opinions now at 1-866-838-HUGE. That's 1-866-838-4843. Now, let's go to the Auto Value Bumper to Bumper Parts Studio with the huge one, Bill Simonson.
What's up, Michigan? It is hour number three on this Wednesday broadcast. Superfly Hayes is back at the Auto Value Bumper to Bumper Parts Store Studios in downtown Grand Rapids at our flagship station, 96.1, The Game and GR. We are up at the Tullymore Golf Resort in Canadian Lakes, Michigan, less than an hour north of GR. It's our bi-week breakdown. Chris Ballas from TheWolverine.com. Doug Skeen, five-time Big Ten champion, offensive lineman in the late 80s, early 90s, and also four-time Rose Bowler. And Ballas and Skeen, they make music, and it's called the Michigan Football Podcast. You can listen to it weekly at TheWolverine.com. So together, fellas, we're going to talk about the Big Ten, where we're at right now on this Michigan bye week, and Michigan State at Indiana on Saturday. A lot of big games left. We just had Penn State lose at Iowa. So I'll start with you, Doug. When you look at the Big Ten, by the time we get to Indy, who will be the East champion and who will be the West champion?
Well, I'm not coming off of what I've seen so far. Ohio State can still drop bombs on offense, and their defense, although didn't look all that great against Oregon, I know they made changes. I think their defensive coordinator may be in title only at this point. They've made some changes defensively. They're heating up as they normally do. I still think Ohio State is the one to beat in the East. And then obviously over on the other side, Iowa, I'm not sure who they have left, a showdown with Wisconsin. But they look like they're going to roll, and I think it's going to be Ohio State, Iowa.
I still think Ohio State is the best team in the Big Ten because of this. Their offense. I believe their offense can put 28 to 35 or more on any team left in the Big Ten. And Michigan and Michigan State both will get those chances. State will get Ohio State and Columbus, and Michigan will get them at the end of the year. Chris, when you look at the Big Ten, it's really Iowa winning the West. The question is, the Big Ten East is the best division in college football right now. Five Big Ten teams in the top 10. You know, you have four from one division. I mean, that sounds like the SEC West.
It does, and it'll play out where they all play each other, and a couple of them will get knocked out there. But I'm 100% with Skeen and probably you in thinking that Ohio State's the team to beat because they've got, the best talent, four- and five-star guys across the board, and they're playing like it. C.J. Stroud's playing well at the quarterback position, and they've got elite receiver play. So that was one of my best bets last week against Maryland. I said they're going to cover that 21-point spread at the half, and they had. And I think you're going to see them get better and better as the year goes on because that's what they do. They've got the culture there, and they don't settle for mediocrity. When they lost to Oregon, all of a sudden they were talking about what can we do to readjust now so that we can still get to the playoff. And in my opinion, they'll be there. They'll be right there at the end. It wouldn't surprise me if they ran the table here the rest of the way. There are some tough games coming up, but they're clicking, man, and that offense is as good as any in the country when it's clicking.
Yeah, you and Skeen both picking Ohio State to win the Big Ten East and get to the Big Ten title game probably goes over well on those Wolverine.com bulletin boards. Yeah, Lavie and Wilson are two NFL receivers. I mean, they literally both could have left school and been NFL first rounders, or at least high second round, and they are. And that's why in Stroud and the offense, and you lose a game early, and they know they can't lose again, and they haven't lost in the Big Ten. They haven't beat anybody yet, but I think when somebody asked me, and I even asked myself the question, why is Ohio State in front of Michigan State and Michigan right now in the polls? It's because you can look at them and see that they have that offense. And I don't know if there's a defense. Remember, it was 32-29 against Nebraska in Lincoln. Nice win. But, you know, and to beat them with that offense, you're probably going to have to get 31-35 minimum. If not more, you might have to beat them 42-38, 42-35. So, you know, Iowa, that type of offense? No. Penn State, I don't think so, even with Clifford. Michigan, do they have that? That's the Ohio State conversation right now. And I've argued with people, and people call me, oh, now you're just saying that to get people ramped up. I said, no, Skeen and Ballas have picked Ohio State. Go to thewolverine.com. Get inside the fort. Listen to the Michigan football podcast. The one advantage, though, that Michigan has is that they get Ohio State at home. So if they can take care of business in East Lansing and win a whiteout or whatever they'll do at Happy Valley, then they're going to play Ohio State in one of the biggest games at 11-0 that Michigan fans, you know, go old school to 2006, right?
Yeah, and even if they don't beat Penn State, if they beat Michigan State and they have to play head-to-head against Ohio State, they still got a chance to play for a Big Ten title against Ohio State or to get to the Big Ten title game. So that's what makes this Michigan.
You mean they'll get to share another banner?
Yeah. Yeah. The one that's hanging up there, the Skeen drops his head. I think it's in the closet, you know, in the over in Schembechler Hall there, the Big Ten East co-champions.
But didn't Jack Harbaugh ask why they're not celebrated or something? I get, you know, you're looking out for your son.
Yeah, but when you lose 62-39, I'm sorry, you know, that's pretty empty. But that's what makes this Michigan State game so huge again, is that, hey, you could still drop one and have a chance to play for a title at the end of the year. So ideally, you win them both, but what are the chances of that you're going to go on the road and beat Michigan State there and then beat Penn State on the road? I don't think they're very good. And but at the same time, they're right there. And it's like Jim Harbaugh said on Monday at his press conference. He said, all their goals are in front of them. We have the license and the ability to do this, but we're going to find that out because now you're playing with the big boys here. This is when it's, again, late October, early November is when you separate the pretenders from the contenders, and you've got your chance now.
That's why that Michigan State-Michigan game, if you're a Michigan fan and you're watching this path, you're saying, beat Michigan State, lose at Penn State, come back and beat Ohio State at home. Now, Penn State already has a loss to Iowa. They get Ohio State, I think, on the same day as Michigan State-Michigan. So you start doing the math that you still could be in that situation with Ohio State and the head-to-head that you beat them and you still get to Indy for the first time in school history. And there's when you look at four teams in the top 10 that are all from the same division, are you going to cannibalize each other? Is the end going to be special for one? Because your goal is, one of those teams in Ohio State can't do it, but losing early helps. If they would be 11-1 and then beat Iowa, who may be 1 or 2 in the country, they're a lock for the college football playoff. And maybe Iowa, even losing what I said about that two-team Big Ten possibility, which isn't crazy talk right now, when you have 5 of the top 10 teams in America as we're talking from the Big Ten. And Michigan State, though, is a team that we're not talking about.
We should be.
Okay, and we're not talking about them. And I believe they, outside of Ohio State, have the most athletic talent on offense.
We should be talking about the Spartans and the job that Coach Tucker has done there. And just, you know, again, for Michigan, former Michigan player, Michigan fan, just take the uniform away and you just look at the job that the head coach has done there and the staff and what they inherited upon arrival. the COVID mess and not being able to implement. I think that coach has done a nice job. And the thing I like the most about it is he's done it without taking shots at my program along the way, like the previous coach used to do. So I'm happy about that. And I kind of like, you know, I kind of wanted to dislike Coach Tucker, but it's hard to do because the guy just coaches tough football. And I like watching tough football. And I've watched the Spartans play, and they're not just playing tough football, because they are, but they got some special talent on that offensive side of the ball. That Naylor kid can fly. The quarterback, it reminds me of just a nice, efficient. He's not just a game manager. That's selling him too short. He does a nice job of putting the ball where it belongs. Their offensive line looks certainly capable, and that running back of theirs is special.
Well, remember, if you're Michigan State, that the flip side is if you would beat Michigan on October 30th, you get Penn State at home and you have Ohio State on the road. So they're on the reverse of what we're talking about, where they could beat Michigan, beat Penn State, lose to Ohio State, but, you know, Ohio State would have that tiebreaker. That Michigan-Michigan State game is a big springboard for not only either school who wins the Big Ten title, but really reverberates that whole day with Ohio State, Penn State, October 30th, before we even get to November. Both of those games are going to be huge.
They are. And you know what's interesting is Ohio State has probably the easiest path because they have Penn State and Michigan State at home. They have to go to Michigan. But if you're looking exactly, and Skeen just shrugged his shoulders, they're going to have 40,000 Ohio State fans in that stadium, or 30,000. Probably.
If we are where we want to be, Ballas, will Michigan fans turn those tickets over to the red guys?
That's a great question. I will say this, though. They have had a hell of a lot less success at Michigan State and at Penn State than they have at Michigan. And those crowds are more rabid. It just is. That's the way it is. Now, that 2000... And no, it was 1997 Michigan Ohio State game was the loudest I've ever heard Michigan Stadium, right? And that place was packed with Michigan fans. You probably had, you know, 20,000 Ohio State fans. So if Michigan's still in contention at the end, I'm thinking you're going to see a lot of Michigan fans. You're going to see a lot less red in that stadium. But if they've dropped a couple of games at that point, say they lose to both Michigan State and Penn State, then Ohio State's got Michigan in front of 40,000 Ohio State fans and an opportunity to win a Big Ten. I like Ohio State's chances there.
Doug, we're sitting here talking about Michigan bye week breakdown. We're at the beautiful Tullymore Golf Resort. They're going to beat Northwestern after the bye week. But if they would lose to Michigan State, Penn State, and Ohio State, have a 9-3 season, but they lost to both of their rivals, how does that sit at the end of the year with the Michigan fan base?
This goes right back to the preseason discussions that we had, and now you're talking about the eyeball exam here, the eyeball test. Losing to those teams, as painful as that would be at this point because expectations are higher, I would have to see how those losses fall down. And do we get blown off the field? Are we not competitive? Is it a total disaster like we've seen in the last couple years and some of those rivalry games? That's a different discussion then you were right there and you lost on a last second, you know, play or a field goal or something, and you played a tough old football game and you grinded it out with the best of them. That's different. So for me, it'll be what it looks like in the event that we disappointingly lost those games.
That's where Michigan State, that game on October 30th, there's a, I'm not going to say pressure, but expectation from the Michigan fan to win that game, because if Michigan State loses to Michigan, Ohio State and Penn State, and they finish 9-3, Coach Tucker is a living god to the Michigan State fan who had zero expectations on this season. Tucker's only then finishing up his second year. For Harbaugh to beat your rival, who now may, you know, be number 8 or number 7 in America by the time we get to that game, but even though it's in East Lansing, we talked about that in August. 2017 and a tough effort against Michigan State, I don't think sits well. I think 2017 losing to Ohio State would sit well with the Michigan fan, even though they hate the Buckeyes. But there's just something about that Michigan State game that I find it is every win by both teams, it just ramped it up. And like I said, that rivalry is more intense from a Michigan State fan perspective than it is from a Michigan fan. The same passion and rabid love the Michigan fan has for Ohio State, I think the Michigan State fan has that for the Michigan game.
You can say that about the fans, and that might be true, but I'm telling you, from a player's perspective, they are different, but equally as intense. I'm telling you, it's you know, they conjure up these emotions for Michigan football players. You approach those games differently, but there is no shortage of desire to beat their ass. I'm telling you, Bill. And the fans can say, oh, it's all about Ohio State, all about whatever. I'm telling you, when you go up and you play in East Lansing, and whether they're coming to town, and you got the trophy and all that, and it's just, there's a something special about that game. It is as intense of a rivalry game as there is. It is different than the Ohio State game, but it's just as crazy, and the desire to just go tear those guys limb from limb. And by the way, this year's Michigan team should absolutely want to go up there and reestablish themselves as the program in this state based on what happened a year ago in Ann Arbor. That was embarrassing what Michigan did a year ago when Michigan State came in and just punched us straight in the throat and didn't stop. I know that a lot of these young men on this Michigan team now will not be have forgotten about that a year ago. So I like that juice angle about that game, but there's no shortage of intensity, and I don't think the players look at this as maybe some of the fans do.
That's interesting, Doug, because you don't hear that from a lot of former players, of former Michigan guys who talk that way about the Michigan State football game. You'll hear that in basketball, Michigan, Michigan State, but you don't hear that, and I sense it from, and again, the sampling of people I talk to, guests, but to hear a former player talk about the passion of that game, because what has happened when D'Antonio came, he put the clock up for the date thing for Michigan, right? Mel Tucker really hasn't taken that on. He wants to do his own thing, and I don't think he's in a position, even though they are now top 10 and undefeated, he knows he still has work to do. You know, Harbaugh knows he has work to do. You know, if we're talking right now about a loss to Nebraska, and we're sitting here, and that game goes the other way, 32-29 Nebraska, Chris, there's a whole different feeling, not just towards Michigan, Michigan State, but the rest of this year.
Yeah, and that's how fickle college football is, right? And it's a bounce here and it's a bounce there, and those are what determines what's a good season, what's a bad season. We were talking 9-3. Michigan finishes 9-3 with those three losses, and we said at the beginning of the year, hey, if they win nine games, no matter which three they lose, you know, it's a step in the right direction. It's still going to be that. But now that the expectations have been raised, it's going to be a disappointment. But if you're 9-3, then you're basically Bo Pelini's Nebraska, right, where you could never really get over the hump, but you won just enough to say, okay, we had a solid year. We won 75% of the games, our games, even if you didn't win the biggest games on your schedule. So that's what's intriguing to me about this. And what people are overlooking, too, is you look at that second half of that Nebraska game in the defense, giving up 29 points and a half. Okay, that's what, 58 points over the course of a whole game. You had blown coverages. We've been singing Mike McDonald's praises. But as Doug Karst told me, Michigan's man on the sidelines, he said, you know, Michigan, it's football. College football is not straight line stuff here. You're going to have some ups and downs. A couple weeks ago, it was the offensive performance against Rutgers in the second half. Look at Michigan State against Nebraska in the second half, and their offense was terrible. I don't think they got, 10 or 15 yards of offense. And then Michigan's defense in the second half in Nebraska. But there are still red flags and areas in which they haven't been tested, in my opinion. The corners, I want to see how they hold up against a passing attack like Michigan State's. That's balanced when you've got Kenneth Walker, who's an outstanding back. And some of the other things. How's Cade McNamara going to do in the big games on the road? He proved a lot against Nebraska, but again, more game manager than having to win a game. So to me, that game is going to tell us so much about both teams. And going into November, that's what's really intriguing about this.
Yeah, second half, I'm sitting there with some Michigan friends watching the game, and Martinez scrambles, and I'm like, you know, I wouldn't worry about this because there's no way Nebraska's offense is scoring two touchdowns on Michigan. I think real time, 5 minutes later, they did. And again, Michigan has had their moments, like at one quarter against Western to open the season where it's kind of blasé. The second half against Rutgers when I was sitting at the Ryder Cup over in Wisconsin, and the buddies I'm with are all Michigan fans, and like, what's going on? You know, it's 20-3 at halftime, and you're thinking it's going to be 38-10 and move on and next man up. And so, but that's college football, and the guys get flat. You know, I thought the Michigan game was over. Crowd was quiet, and then that scramble, I think it was from Martinez, it woke him up. And the crowd gets into it. You get the mojo. It's a night game. So, but they answered it. I don't look at that game and think, man, the defense cost them. I didn't, because Martinez, I don't know why he's not running more. See, if I'm Scott Frost, I'm running more option. But I never looked at that game like the defense almost cost them. I guess if they would have lost, you might break it down more.
Well, Ballas, you just made a great point that it's impossible for a defense and an offense to play perfect football every week. You got to remember the age of these players, and it's difficult to go out and execute, and the coaching and the X's and O's. And let's give credit to some of these opponents that Michigan has played. They've found a way to make adjustments. The Rutgers defense, Shiano made a nice adjustment in the second half, did some things with his defensive line, which really kind of caused us some problems with our double teaming up the front with our blocking schemes. And so, you know, it is a valley back and forth, absolutely. And Michigan's, you know, not immune to this. And they're going to have these same problems going forward, these same challenges. But here's the difference. It was Saturday night. Nebraska goes up. The fourth quarter, Michigan's behind. In the previous few seasons, Michigan teams have melted in that moment. The body language has sunk, and the confidence was gone, and it was an ugly loss. That didn't happen Saturday night. These guys dug their heels in and got better and showed some grit and toughness, which we haven't seen in a few years. And I thought, okay, here's another check mark in the column of what these players have been saying since August, that this team is different, and that was another reason to say, yeah, these kids are right so far, and they just got to keep going.
They did that at Wisconsin. Badgers got a little life right at the end of the first half. Michigan came out in that second half and kicked their ass. They answered the bell. That's why I don't judge the 32-29. Oh, my God, you gave up 29 to Nebraska. I look at how they were able to do it. And remember, that was back-to-back weeks in Madison and in Lincoln. Tell me how many Big Ten teams could go back-to-back in both of those places and get W's. I mean, that's a tough part of the schedule. Matter of fact, if you do the math and you think about this, at Wisconsin, at Nebraska, bye week, home against Northwestern, and at Michigan State. Think about those three road games. We haven't even got to at Penn State or Ohio State at home. Now, earlier in the year, you probably thought Northwestern would be tougher than – well, not early in the year. I'm talking last summer that Northwestern might have been tougher than Michigan State. So if they get through this schedule, if they're in Indy and they're 12-0 and in their own division they beat three of those other top five teams, they won't get – and they would beat Iowa in the Big Ten title game. You hands down would call that the greatest regular season in Michigan football history.
Yeah, you'd have to go to the 97 team and you start comparing this. You would have to compare this to one of the greatest seasons in Michigan football history, and I would love to see it.
Could you imagine if they beat Iowa, two under heavyweights? It could be like outside of Georgia, it could be 2-3, something like that, and then they get to the college football playoff. Like I mentioned, I think in our conversation, as the overall number one seed, I know it's really out there right now, but and you still have to, like Chris said earlier, that, yeah, it's nice winning at Wisconsin. It's nice winning back-to-back weeks against the Badgers and the Huskers. But those three other top 10 teams are in your division, and you have to get through them to try to get to Indy for the first time in school history.
Yeah, I'm going to, spoiler alert, they're not going to go undefeated, and they're just not.
Are you really driving up the Wolverine.com hits? They can't wait for the Skeen and Ballas Michigan football podcast. Pick at Ohio State. Yeah. No way Michigan runs the table.
No, and I mean, Iowa's got a damn good team. They do. So you're talking about.
I'm not sold on Iowa.
No.
If Clifford doesn't go out, I think Penn State wins that game.
But if Graham Mertz, who had a pretty damn good drive there at the end of the half and was starting to find his rhythm a little bit, doesn't go out against Michigan, does Michigan roll in the second half of that game?
They might win it, but I don't know if they'd roll it.
Right, exactly. So, and I'm not saying Mertz is a great quarterback. He's had his issues, but he's a guy that can make the throws. But you're talking about going to Michigan State and winning. You're talking
W.
Right. Okay. You're talking about at Penn State.
W.
I want to throw this one out there, and people are going to think I'm stupid, and you guys will too. But you've got a game at Maryland between Penn State and Ohio State, and Maryland's not very good, right? But they always seem to play somebody. Remember Ohio State a few years back when they came right down to the
wall? Well, that cost Michigan a trip to the Big Ten championship game.
Yeah, exactly. So you've got at Penn State. Say you go into that game. You've got at Maryland sandwiched between Penn State and Ohio State. And I'll let you talk to Skeen about trap games because I don't know what the mentality is, but I do know that a lot of teams have gone into those games on the road. Michigan at Indiana a few years back where it was like, okay, this looks like, you know, everybody talks about a trap game, goes to double overtime. And so to me, that's something to watch too. There is just no guarantee. None of these games, with the exception of Northwestern, is a guarantee. And we've said that all year long. How few guarantee games there are in the Big Ten. So there is zero chance, in my opinion, that Michigan goes undefeated. But Michigan, if they beat Michigan State, has a great chance to go into that Ohio State game with a chance to get to the Big Ten championship game. I think that's what we're looking at right now.
Chris, the Buzzkiller Ballas from the Wolverine.com. Hey, from the Wolverine.com, along with Doug Skeen joining us here on the Huge Show across Michigan. It is the bye week breakdown on Michigan, Michigan State. Big Ten. We'll also talk about the Lions and the NFL. Your comments at Huge Show on Twitter, the Huge Show on Facebook. Also opt in on the Huge text chain. Text the word HUGE to 21,000. We're here at the beautiful Tullymore Golf Resort in Canadian Lakes, Michigan, less than an hour north of GR. Their book and tee times are open with the Tullymore Golf Course. St. Ives is closed for the year through October, and stay and play packages. If you want to get away on some business during the week in golf or watch some football and golf on the weekend, book your stay and play package and your tee time right now at TullymoreGolf.com. That's TullymoreGolf.com.
From St. Joseph to Midland, this show is huge.
It's a new day to celebrate and be free. A new day full of action and excitement. Come to Soaring Eagle. Indulge to your heart's content. It's a day for winning, for world-class fun and food. Yes, it's a grand, spectacular day to get away. Only at Soaring Eagle Casino and Resort. It's a new day. Visit SoaringEagleCasino.com.
Huge here for all the Mr. Car Wash locations across Michigan. You're going to want to look into that unlimited monthly pass that I use. Superfly Hayes, my producer, uses it. I can get my SUV washed as often as I like for one low price. You can sign up today. Just go to MrCarWash.com or stop by your local Mr. Car Wash location here in Michigan for the one close to you. And to get that unlimited pass, go to MrCarWash.com.
Auto Value is a local Michigan-based company. You can find us all over this great state of Michigan. From Monroe to Marquette, we have you covered. When you shop at your local Auto Value auto parts store, you'll always be assured of quality, service, and a huge selection of name-brand auto parts and accessories. Find out more and shop online at myautovaluestore.com. Thank you for shopping at Auto Value, where service is the difference. We get it.
Huge here for my friends on the DraftKings Sportsbook app, an official sports betting partner of the NFL. And they have another huge offer this week. All you have to do is download the DraftKings Sportsbook app, use that promo code HUGE when you sign up, and then just bet $1 on any NFL game, and you can win $100 in free bets if either team scores a point. That's called a no-brainer bet on the DraftKings Sportsbook app. So download the DraftKings Sportsbook app now, use promo code HUGE, bet just $1 on any NFL game, and get $100 in free bets if either team scores a point. That's promo code HUGE when you sign up after downloading the DraftKings Sportsbook app, an official sports betting partner of the NFL. If you or someone you know has a gambling problem and wants help, call the Michigan Department of Health and Human Services Gambling Disorder Helpline at 1-800-270-7117. 21 and up in Michigan only. Eligibility restrictions apply. See DraftKings.com/sportsbook for full terms and conditions.
You're listening to The Huge Show on the Michigan Sports Network.
We are back on The Huge Show across Michigan. We're here at the Tullymore Golf Resort in Canadian Lakes, Michigan, less than an hour north of GR. It's our bye-week breakdown with Chris Ballas from TheWolverine.com and five-time Michigan Wolverine Big Ten champion and a former offensive lineman in Ann Arbor, late 80s through the early 90s, Doug Skeen, four-time Rose Bowler. A Superfly Hayes is back at the Auto Value Bumper to Bumper Parts Store Studios in downtown GR. If you have a Michigan football, Michigan State football, Big Ten comment or question, add Huge Show on Twitter, The Huge Show on Facebook. So towards the end of our previous segment, guys, we were talking about trap games. Doug, you played, like I said, five-time Big Ten champion. Michigan's coming off of two emotional wins at Wisconsin, at Nebraska. They get a bye week. Then it's Northwestern, who may be the worst team in the Big Ten this side of Illinois. And then you have Michigan State the following week. Is Northwestern a possible trap game for Michigan?
Well, Ballas is shaking his head over here saying no, but I'm telling you from experience, I'm a fan of college football. This happens every year. Every year, some team that has no business taking a superior team to the wire or even beating them, it happens. Ask Alabama. Was Texas A&M a trap game? They were unranked, right? Who's Texas A&M? Well, that happened. And so I'm taking nothing for granted. And I'm assuming that the head football coach and these assistant coaches are going to do the same thing. But having been there, done that myself, yes. When you're 20 years old and you're undefeated and you look at the schedule and you go, it's Northwestern. And you peek down that schedule on the wall in that team meeting room and you see the red letters games down the line and Northwestern's not one of them, it is easy to overlook a Big Ten opponent.
Ballas, do you think Northwestern is a potential trap game?
Texas A&M has athletes, and this year Northwestern has none. And now, the one thing that you used to be able to bank on and usually always can with a Pat Fitzgerald coach team is that they're going to play their ass off, and that I have not seen that this year. To me, I saw them play Nebraska, and I thought, man, that doesn't look anything like a Northwestern team to me. So to me, the trap games, you want to talk trap games, we were talking about Maryland a little bit, and they've got a good quarterback, and that comes between Penn State and Ohio State. So on the road at Penn State, and then you have to go on the road to Maryland. So that's not going to be, in my opinion, as easy. So they're not going to put up points like Ohio State did against Maryland. That's just not going to happen. They're going to be methodical. And if Maryland hits a couple big plays and stays in that game, so, and I'm not predicting a Michigan loss. Michigan better win that game. And then look at Indiana. How many times has Indiana played Michigan tough? They finally got over the hump last year for the first time since 1987. But that team always seems to find a way to play its best game against Michigan. Granted, it has been before the Ohio State game, so maybe Michigan's doing a little looking past them. But Tom Allen, again, solid coach, and they've got some players. So to me, absolutely not, but there are a couple games there that you have to keep an eye on.
Michigan's midseason MVP on that football team, Doug Skeen, who would you say has been the most valuable player for Harbaugh? Offense, defense, or special teams? One player.
Ooh, on defensive side of the ball, boy, the Ross at linebacker is playing outstanding football. And of course, Hutch is doing a great job on the defensive line. Boy, that is a toss-up there. Hutch doesn't always get home to the quarterback, but, boy, even when he gets a bull rush going and he creates an edge and he just collapses a side of the pocket, he's doing such a great job. But I'll have to go with Hutch on the defensive side of the ball because of the pressure he's getting to the quarterback. And on offense, this one might turn a head or two. Andrew Vastardis at center is having an outstanding season. That kid's going to be all Big Ten this year. And the center position is a critical leadership role in that offensive line. And he's doing an outstanding job. And I know there's some other good players on offense. A lot of guys made a lot of big plays, and the running backs are great. I get it. But I'm telling you, Andrew Vastardis at center will be all Big Ten.
And Moody, what he did on the special teams at Nebraska, Chris, I would say Moody is your special teams MVP. If you're Michigan right now, looking here basically at the halfway point into the bye week, who's your MVP on offense and defense?
Yeah, I like Hassan Haskins, and that game, they don't win it without him. It's amazing. We had fans saying, hey, I sure hope Haskins moves on so we can see more of Donovan Edwards, the true freshman. And I'm like, you don't win that game without Hassan Haskins at Nebraska and the things that he does. And it's not just the way he runs the ball. It's his pass pro. If you watch his pass pro this year compared to past years, and I'm going to credit running backs coach Mike Hart for a lot of that, he was laying some hits. We're going to do this in our film breakdown where you could hear the pads when he was colliding with guys and he was selling out his body. Great teammate, great leader, and really an underrated back. I compared him to a BJ Askew type. Kind of like looks like a fullback playing running back because tailback because he's not that fast. But Askew played 5 years in the NFL, and I think Hassan Haskins has a future there. On defense, I agree, it's Hutchinson. They can't block him. I can't tell you how many times I saw jerseys being pulled. I can't imagine how frustrated he is. Have you talked to Hutch about that? Is Dad keen? Because that kid is in the backfield almost all the time. And he's at least, at the very least, the quarterback's got him in the corner of his eye. A lot of the times he's collapsed the pocket so far that the trajectory of the ball is different. And there are several other times that he gets to him. So to me, those are your two guys.
I've not talked to Hutch about the excessive holding going on with you. Yeah, of course I've seen it. This comes with the territory of being a featured defensive pass rusher. And so the best thing you can do is put more carpet tape on your shoulder pads and spray those jerseys down with more silicone. And, you know, that's what you, no, of course not. The carpet tape is. The silicone is not. And we used to do the Vaseline on the shoulder pads, too, so no one could grab you. But, you know, Hutch is, you know, offensive line where these guys wear these stickier hands now. But, no, I have not talked to Hutch about that. I did talk to Hutch, but not about that. And the one thing I would say is Aiden's having fun playing this year, and you can see it, and it's a joy to watch. And yes, there's a personal connection there, and I really, really enjoy watching that kid play.
Who would be the best freshman? Both sides of the ball, special teams anywhere. The biggest impact freshman, as we talk right now, for Michigan football, where they sit at 6-0 and number 7 in the country. It could be somebody that didn't play last year, that could be a redshirt freshman, could be a true freshman. Who would that be?
You know, Cade McNamara is a redshirt freshman eligibility-wise.
Is he really? Wow, that it seems like he's been there 3 years already, doesn't he?
And he's still a redshirt freshman.
Well, because of the pandemic year, right?
Exactly. So if you want to get technical, then that.
Thank you, Chris, for getting technical.
I'm telling you, Roman Wilson, though, had started to emerge, and I think you're going to see more of him with Ronnie Bell out. That was one area where you're like, you need somebody to step up here and prove they can run some routes. A.J. Henning is not that guy yet. Now, on punt return, he looked dicey, right, against Nebraska, but against the previous two games, he looked really good back there and was an impact player. But and then Blake Corum is really a redshirt freshman. He's actually a second-year freshman. So you look at him and you say, okay, that guy is going to be something pretty damn good. So they need to do a better job getting him out in space and testing those edges with him a little bit more, in my opinion. So on defense, boy, that's a tough one. It's got to be probably Junior Colson at linebacker. Here's a guy that is actually playing more than the starter, Nakai Hill Green, as a true freshman, and in my opinion is going to be one of the best in the country.
Doug, who would be your biggest impact as a freshman for Michigan football?
Overall, I'll go to the quarterback. I'll say McCarthy at the quarterback spot for this reason. I know he made the fancy pass against, was it Northern Illinois, where he did the cross the field thing, and he displayed the strength of his arm. But the feeling that you get, and you can clearly tell from the coaching staff, this kid brings stability and depth to a position that we had not had the luxury of having in the past. So that has an enormous impact, and although we haven't needed to see him come in and win a game, there's a confidence on that offensive side of the ball, and the defense for that matter, knowing that if something happens to McNamara, that we got a guy that can come in here and run this offense and run it well.
Doug Skin, Chris Ballas from TheWolverine.com. You can listen to the Michigan football podcast throughout the season at TheWolverine.com. We do have one final segment coming up for this Wednesday broadcast from our bi-week breakdown here at the Tullymore Golf Resort in Canadian Lakes, Michigan, less than an hour north of GR. To the callers online, we'll get to your opinions, and you can join us at Huge Show on Twitter, The Huge Show on Facebook.
Opt in to the Huge text chain. Text HUGE to 21000.
Get your payout before the game's out with BetMGM. Hey, this is Matt Shepard, and like you, I'm fired up football is back. Place a moneyline wager on any Thursday night football game, and if your team is up by 10 or more points at halftime, you win. That's right, that's a full payout for only half the game, no matter what happens the rest of the way. Simply go to your BetMGM account and opt in each week to the Thursday night halftime payout promotion. Want to continue wagering in the third quarter? No problem, keep it rolling with BetMGM's extensive live betting options. Need to hit the sack early? No issue. Use your winnings to place a one-game parlay on Sunday and go for the gridiron glory. If you're new to BetMGM, download the app today and see how you can turn halftime into cash time. Make a moneyline bet on Thursday night, and if your team is up by 10 or more, you'll win at the half only at BetMGM. Opt-in required. Visit BetMGM.com for terms and conditions. Must be 21 years or older. Michigan only. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-270-7117 for confidential help. Excludes Michigan disassociation. Associated persons.
Huge here for your local Meijer. Now everybody knows Meijer is connected to local teams, college teams, high schools, pros, and more throughout the state of Michigan. So what it means is when you're shopping at your local Meijer, you're basically shopping for your local community. And Meijer is proud to partner with Little Leagues, youth sports, high school sports, college sports, and pro sports throughout the state of Michigan. Remember, when you shop Meijer, you're shopping for your local community.
This show is huge.
Hi, everyone. Former NFL running back Merrill Hodge here. Make sure you join me every Friday at 5:25 p.m. on the DraftKings NFL Power Hour with Huge on the Michigan Sports Network. We'll break down the upcoming Lions game and the biggest games of the weekend in the NFL. The DraftKings NFL Power Hour kicks off every Friday at 5 p.m. right here on the Huge Show across Michigan.
This is the Michigan Sports Network.
It's a new day to celebrate and be free. A new day full of action and excitement. Come to Soaring Eagle. Indulge to your heart's content. It's a day for winning, for world-class fun and food. Yes, it's a grand, spectacular day to get away. Only at Soaring Eagle Casino and Resort. It's a new day. Visit SoaringEagleCasino.com.
You're listening. listening to The Huge Show on the Michigan Sports Network.
We are back here at the Tullymore Golf Resort in Canadian Lakes, Michigan, less than an hour north of GR. Remember to book a tee time through October and also a stay and play package at TullymoreGolf.com. And make sure you get your football picks in the Beat Huge contest. Are you better than me at picking pro football games? You could win $1,000 in cash. You have until Sunday at noon each and every week to play at thehugeshow.net, and that $1,000 in cash from Tom Rosenbach and Bean Garter could be yours.
Big, bad, huge.